Many Svarim quote in the name of the Rashba the following idea. Afilu minag nashim zikenos b'Yisrael. If you have a minhag, if you have a tradition or a custom that the sacred and holy women of the Jewish people have taken upon themselves, ein koach b'yad shishim ribo m'Yisrael levatlo. They say that the Rashba said, even if you have 600,000 Jews, they are not able to overcome that age-old practice that these women have taken upon themselves. Now, the Heshiv Moshe, who was one of the original Satmar Rebbes, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, in the beginning of the 1800s, has a discussion about this. Why does he get into this discussion? Because there was a practice in his days that a woman who unfortunately passed away while she was pregnant, the practice was that they do not allow her to be buried until they take out the ibur mibitna, until they take out the embryo from inside of her uterus. So that was the practice in his days. And the question was, is this correct? Is that proper? Shouldn't the woman be buried just as one body, as one person, and we shouldn't take out the ibur? So this was the major question. So he gets into the discussion and he says, well, there were those who argued that the Rashba says, if women have a practice, it doesn't matter whether or not we understand it, it doesn't matter whether or not it makes sense to us. If that is the practice, then that is what we do. And nobody has the right to dispute such a practice that they may have. That is the discussion that he has, but however, he qualifies it and he says, HaRashba me'olam lo kasav davar kazeh, writes the Satmar Rebbe, the Rashba never wrote such a thing, and it sounds very far-fetched to assume that this is what the Rashba really said, even if it's something that is against what the halacha would tell us to do. It doesn't sound like the Rashba would say we should listen to the age-old practice that really is based on no credible source. So where does this attributed line from the Rashba actually come from? The truth is, in the Chelek Aleph of the Tshuvas HaRashba, he has a discussion, a responsa to somebody who asked him the following question. The person asked, when is the Keitz La'olam? When is the end of the world? When is the world going to come to the end of its existence? And he says that the philosophers have all kinds of ideas, but he wants to know what is the Torah's perspective on this question. So there, the Rashba, in trying to reject the position of the secular philosophers, the Rashba says that the philosophers have their own ideas, but then he says, even if you have all the philosophers in the world, they are not able to go against everything that our grandparents and great-grandparents have given over to us in our tradition, and therefore the Rashba says you should absolutely reject whatever it is that you've been taught by the secular philosophers that you are now posing the question to me about. So that is where the Rashba says this comment, and it says the Heshiv Moshe, that is a far jump to go from there. When you have a dispute between the secular philosophers and the Jewish tradition, that's where the Rashba says you should follow your grandmother, follow your great-grandmother. This is the tradition that we have. But when you have something where you have the halacha against the tradition of the old Jewish women, perhaps, obviously, the halacha would win out, and that is not something that we should follow the tradition about. We should rather follow the halacha. So this is a very much spoken about Rashba. It's not clear whether or not the Rashba ever actually said it, but many, many different Achronim quote this in the name of the Rashba. So there are some traditions that people seem to consider to be very, very serious Jewish traditions, but we don't really know what the origin of that minhag is all about. One of the most commonly asked questions that I get many, many, many times a year is, what is the status of a pregnant woman? Is she allowed to go to a funeral? Is she allowed to attend the Beis HaKvaros? Is this something that she's not allowed to do, or perhaps is there something that we have no problem with? I'm telling you, I get this question probably at least once a month. Unfortunately, we have many, many funerals, and there's always somebody in the family who happens to be pregnant. And the question is there something wrong with a woman who is pregnant attending such a funeral? This is a discussion in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, which is written by Diane Weiss from the Eidech HaRedus. And he wants to know whether or not there's any problem for a pregnant woman to participate or to attend and be present by a levaya, by a funeral, or then subsequently to go to the Beis HaKvaros. This is the discussion that he has. And he begins the discussion with this Tshuvas HaRashba. And he says, well, it's well known that the Rashba said that if we have an age-old practice, even if we don't really understand what the origin of that practice is, maybe we should follow it even though it makes no sense to us. So this is the question that he deals with. And he says, well, I don't really know that the Rashba ever actually said that, like we just mentioned, and I'm not really sure that this should go against any halacha that we would ever say. However, he says, although I have found absolutely no source for this in halacha, I don't know where it comes from, I don't understand where this tradition started from, that a pregnant woman doesn't attend a levaya. He says, you know, maybe I think I understand where the mistake began. And that is something that has to do with this week's parsha. What is a discussion is an eshes kohen meuberes. When you have a wife of a kohen who is pregnant, that is where the Acharonim talk about whether or not she has the right to attend a funeral. Is she allowed to participate in a levaya? And the discussion begins in the very opening of this week's parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, emor el kohanim bnei Aharon ve'amarta aleihem lenefesh lo yitama be'amav. The Torah says that a kohen, a male kohen, is not allowed to be metame himself. He's not allowed to participate in a funeral. And the Mefarshim ask a very obvious question. Why does it say emor el kohanim bnei Aharon ve'amarta aleihem? That's a double terminology. Emor ve'amarta. Why do we have this phrase mentioned twice in one pasuk when we are already engaged in conversation with them? So Rashi quotes in the name of the Medrash, in the name of the Gemara. It's a sugya, Maseches Yevamos Kuf Yudalet, a very important Gemara. But here Rashi quotes the following. Amar ve'amarta, why do we have this double terminology? Lahazir gedolim al haktanim. It means, not only do the adults have to take responsibility for themselves, that they are not going to participate as kohanim in a funeral, but they also need to take responsibility for the young children, and make sure that the young male kohanim, even if they're under bar mitzvah, they are not going to be metame themselves either. They have a certain level, a certain status of kedushas kahuna, and we need to make sure as adults not only that we are not metame ourselves, but we have to make sure that our children, who are kohanim, are not metame themselves either. So the Shach extends the discussion in Yaradeya, and he says, well, what happens if a woman is pregnant? The Torah here says you need to take responsibility for young children, that they too are not allowed to become tamei if they are kohanim. So says the Shach, is a woman who is pregnant, and she happens to be an eshes kohen, so she's very likely pregnant with a young male kohen who is not allowed to become tamei. Is she allowed to attend the funeral or be in the same room as a dead body? Maybe that would be a violation of this prohibition of Amar el kohanim b'nei Aharon, which means Amar ve'amarta. We have an obligation not only for ourselves, but also for our young children. Says the Shach, a very interesting question, but he answers in the name of one of the Rishonim, in the name of the Rokeach, that he sees no problem with this woman attending such a funeral. Why? You're a woman who's married to a kohen. You might be very well pregnant with a male kohen, and you are not allowed to be metamahim. Answers the Shach that we have a very simple suggestion. The reason why she's allowed to attend the funeral is because we have a svek sveka, which means we have a double reason to assume that she would be allowed to attend. Number one, he says, shema nefalhu. Writes the Shach, you have a 50-50 chance that this child is not alive. Maybe the child is going to be a stillborn, and therefore there's no issue at all. Hear me out. Number two, writes the Shach, even if you have a 50-50 chance, maybe he'll be alive, maybe he will be a stillborn, Rachmana Litzlan, you have a 50-50 chance, maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl. And therefore, writes the Shach, you have 75-25 chances that this is not going to be a baby boy who will be healthy. And therefore, we have nothing to worry about. Writes the Shach, if you have an eshes kohen meuberes, you have a wife of a kohen who is pregnant who wants to know whether or not she can attend a funeral. The answer is absolutely, because number one, maybe her child is not a bar kayama, maybe he's not even alive. Number two, maybe it's a female, and therefore there is no prohibition on a female kohenes to be metame lemesim. The only prohibition is on a male. Now, this is fraught with all kinds of problems, but consequently, if the Shach is correct, that the only reason why a woman is allowed to go to a funeral when she is pregnant, potentially with a male kohen, is because you have a 75-25 chance. What about today when we can go for an ultrasound? And she can easily find out whether or not she is pregnant with a male or a female. Would you eliminate one of these considerations by now finding out, and then she no longer has the 75-25? Now it's just a 50-50 chance whether or not this child is going to be a bar kayama. And therefore she has no right to attend the funeral. So that is question number one. Does a eshes kohen meuberes have to get an ultrasound today to find out whether or not she's going to have a boy or a girl, and then act accordingly? So that is question number one that you have to deal with when we talk about the Shach. Number two, there are contemporary svarim that talk about the fact that maybe a woman who is an eshes kohen meuberes, bizman hazeh, in our times, maybe she has an obligation to find out whether or not she's pregnant with a boy or a girl. And if in fact she's pregnant with a boy, maybe she has to make a certain choice of hospital. After all of our hospitals, unfortunately, there are dead bodies. But if she goes to a birthing center where they have generally no dead bodies there, she will not be encountering this issue. Maybe she has to take that into consideration, right, to Svarim, if she knows that she is in fact pregnant with a baby boy who is a Kohen, and then she is Muzar, she is instructed to look out for that young boy not to become Tamei. That is consideration number one that you need to think about. But, number one, writes the Gilyan Maharsha, how can the Magen Avraham, how can the Shach say that the reason why we are allowed to attend, this woman would be allowed to attend the funeral today, is because you have a 50-50 chance maybe the child will be a boy or girl, 50-50 chance whether or not the child is going to be a Bar Kayama. Writes the Gilyan Maharsha, and the Primigadim has the same question. We don't have a 50-50 chance whether or not children are going to survive the pregnancy today. I don't know what the statistics are, but they're way higher. Maybe 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the probability was much lower, but today, I would assume 90% or maybe even higher, 95, 98% of the children that are born in the world are born and are not going to be a stillborn. So how can you say we have a 75-25 chances that maybe this child won't be alive and maybe it's going to be a girl? It's not really true. Those statistics really don't belong in our equation today, so that's question number one. Question number two, writes the Pischei Tshuva, that the Magen Avraham challenges this whole argument in the first place. We have a sugya in Meseches Chulin Daf Ayin Aleph where the Gemara there talks about Tuma Balua. What happens if you have a ring that becomes Tamei? A ring somehow becomes Tamei, it was in the same room as a dead body, and then somebody, strange case, somebody swallows that ring. Why somebody would eat a ring, I don't know, but the Gemara says either you have an animal or a human being that swallows that ring that became Tamei. What is the status of the ring now? Says the Gemara, once it's inside of somebody's body, it loses its identity. It no longer is considered to be Tamei. That's the understanding that the Gemara has. It's called Tuma Balua. It's totally engulfed in somebody's body, and therefore it no longer has its own identity. So much so that the Gemara says, what if a person would swallow two rings? One of them was Tameh and one of them was Tahar. And now both of them are inside of the person's body. Would you assume that both rings are now Tameh? Says the Gemara, no. They both lose their identity. They have no reason to assume that it would transfer Tuma from one to the other. That's what we refer to as Tuma Balua. What's inside of a person's body or inside of an animal's body, it no longer remains what its status was previously. And therefore, writes the Magen Avraham, why would we not assume that the same applies to a woman who is pregnant? Yes, you are the wife of a Kohen, and therefore we should say, maybe there's a reason to argue you shouldn't go to a funeral, but ask the Magen Avraham, I don't understand. This child is totally engulfed inside of his mother's body, and therefore the same way a ring that was swallowed by a human being loses its identity, so too a child, so to speak, an embryo, no longer retains its identity once it's inside of the mother. And therefore, writes the Magen Avraham, I don't even understand where this discussion begins. Why should we even get off the ground about the whole conversation? Should a woman who's married to a Kohen be allowed to attend a funeral when she is pregnant? After all, who cares whether or not she has a boy? Even if we know bivados, even if we know with certainty that she has a baby boy inside, we should have no concern, because while this child is inside of her, he has no identity at all, and therefore there is nothing to be concerned about in the first place. So the Chasam Sofer and other Achronim, the Radvaz, writes the same idea. Maybe what the Shach was concerned about was that if you have a woman who's in her ninth month and who's about to give birth, and maybe she'll give birth in the cemetery, that's where we have a concern that she shouldn't go to the cemetery. And that's why the Shach had to come up with this whole idea. No, maybe you don't have to be concerned, because 75-25 chances. But if you have a woman in her 6th month, 7th month, 8th month, where she's not feeling anything, there's no reason to assume that she's going to give birth any minute, maybe we have no reason to assume that there should be any problem at all with her participating in a funeral. After all, we have a 75-25 chances that, even without that, we have no reason to assume that this child is going to be born while she's in the cemetery, while she's at the funeral, and therefore we would consider that to be Tuma Balua, and there's no reason to have any concern with regard to Tumas Kohanim at all. This is unfortunately a question that is also related to this discussion that comes up every so often. We had recently a woman who went for an ultrasound. She was an Ashes Kohen. Not only an Ashes Kohen, but she's also the daughter of a Kohen, so she's a full-fledged Kohenes. So this woman was pregnant, and she went for a regular ultrasound and unfortunately found out that the baby no longer had a heartbeat. So she had to go for a procedure, a DNC, to have the baby removed. Now, not always is the hospital able to take care of that procedure immediately. Sometimes you have to wait 2 or 3 days until they are able to schedule you for a DNC. So that is what happened with this woman. And the problem then becomes, is she even allowed to stay in her house together with her husband? Now she has a dead baby inside of her, and her husband is a Kohen, and now you would say, well, there's a dead body inside of our home, and normally a Kohen is not allowed to be under the same roof as a dead body. And the question then becomes, do you say that we have this concept of tuma balua, that since the child is inside of the mother's womb, we would assume that there's no reason to say that he has his own identity and that that would later transfer to the husband who happens to be under the same roof? This is a major question. It's an unfortunate question, and it's a very uncomfortable question that we don't want to bring up when a person is going through such a difficult circumstance, but it's something that you need to think about. Is this really something that we need to contend with when we deal with the issue of Tumas Kohanim? And the whole discussion really begins because of Rashi's comment in our parsha. Again, the opening comment of this week's parsha is, Emar el Kohanim b'nei Aharon, va'amarta aleihem le'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. From there, Rashi learns, quoting a Gemara, that not only does an adult male Kohen have a prohibition to become Tameh, but he also has to look out and take responsibility that his children don't become Tameh if they are Kohanim. And therefore, here, we get into this discussion, how far does that go? How far do we need to make sure that a person looks out and takes responsibility for the young children who are Kohanim in this family to make sure that they are not going to become Tameh? Do we say that even an Eishas Kohen Mu'uberes, even a woman who is pregnant at the time with what could potentially be a male Kohen, would the prohibition go that far? Or perhaps would we have other reasons to say that we would have no concern for the child who was only an embryo at that time?